In the book of Matthew, in chapter 15, verse 22, we want to glean here for a little while in regards to this precious little Sophonician woman. I believe that if we'll just take note, we can find some help from this little woman this morning. I believe we could. As we kind of go along, could you kind of at least assume that you're walking along with her, standing on the same level with her? And then if you were to put yourself on the balance with her, would you balance out with her? Something to think about. Samuel, the Bible said, and behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast, cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, the first thing that we want to call your attention to here in regards to this precious little woman is, why did she approach the Lord? Why did she pray? Why did she call upon him? Do you not have a reason for calling upon the Lord?
Yeah.
Many things can be said about that, but I believe number one, that she called on the Lord because she had a desperate need.
Yeah.
I know when I do my more sincere praying is when I've got a desperate need.
Yeah.
And now keep this in mind, all things are possible with him.
Yes, sir.
The question would be, when we call upon him and we do not get our answer, what's the problem at?
Right.
Now keep this in mind. Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain.
Yeah.
And it rained not for 3 years and 6 months.
Yeah.
And then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth the increase. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are. But he prays. God heard him. God answered. God gave the increase.
Yeah.
So now, when we pray and we don't get the answer, where's the problem? It's not in him.
Right.
I mean, one man, we got a whole house full.
Right.
One man prayed earnestly. God heard and answered.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If we don't get an answer, if we don't make progress, seemingly we're not praying the effectual fervent prayer.
Right, brother. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I pastored a little church for 7 years. I'm not there anymore. There, you know what I mean? They're trying to get something better. They're trying to get something better. But that little church has been down for a number of years. Low, Charlie. If we had 10 people, we're doing real well. Good folks. They go beyond my expectations. I can expect a whole lot. But if I didn't say nothing to them about anything, they'd go beyond my expectations. See, I've been up there this time. This is the third time I've been there, and I started this time 7 years. Don't you believe if I had prayed the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, we'd have made some progress?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'd have done that. Narrow it down to yourself.
Yeah.
I really sincerely believe the overall picture is this little woman prayed the effectual fervent prayer.
Right. Yeah.
So when we're praying it don't help them, let's don't blame somebody else. Let's take the blame ourselves.
Amen.
If you alone pray the effectual fervent prayer, how's the progress?
Amen.
How's the progress? How's the progress? So we find now that she goes before the Lord because she has a desperate need. I find in my own life, that's when I do my more fervent, sincere prayer, is when I've got a desperate need. Now, think about it for a moment. I'm thinking that if she had not had a desperate need, she might have reclined. It's a whole lot easier to recline than to pray.
Yeah.
I mean, I can be, you know what I mean, as wake as a judge. Wide open as a judge. And I start to pray and I get drowsy.
Yeah.
Ever have that?
Yeah.
I mean, even Joe can do that.
Yeah.
Now listen, beloved, I believe if she had not had that desperate need, do you think maybe we would, in the light of that, we would ask the Lord to give us something hard? Preaching along this line one time, and I say to him, I said, How long has it been since you slipped away in the closet and you got all alone, turned the light out and got real humble before the Lord and said, Lord, if it could possibly be arranged, give me the hardest task of going. Yeah. One good brother said, Earl, I didn't have to ask for that. God, without asking for it.
Yeah.
But the Lord don't always favor you like that. Sometimes you got to plead for it.
Yeah. Amen.
Sometimes the Lord don't volunteer to do. He wants to know if you're real sincere, if you really want it.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking she had not had this desperate need. She might have reclined. The Lord passed by. She'd have never known he'd been there. And a lot of that thought, do you not think that sometimes we use the Lord as if he was on the spare tire?
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Let me, if I may, use my little travel car here for just a thought. I don't have it with me today. I'm a Harlem dignitary. And dignitaries won't ride that car. They will not ride that car. Brother Glass is the dignitary. I'm going to be taking him home. But I've been traveling in that little car now for almost 15 years. This coming Thanksgiving, 15 years.
Yeah.
Got it? I bought it about 35 miles from home, and I didn't expect to get home with it. I thought it'd tire up, be all over before I got home. But it took a chance, and did get home. But in that 15 years, I have rolled the wheels over, up and down the road, 600 and almost 20,000 miles.
Yeah.
Man.
How about that, preacher, man?
Little three-cylinder Metro four-way car.
Yeah.
And for the most part, that's been all alone. Nobody else arrived at it. Some of them can't get in. Brother Jack, I'm going to try to get Brother Jack and Brother Charlie. Do you have any question about what Charlie I'm thinking about? I'm trying to get them inside and take your picture. Have some of the microphone. But what I'm saying is, in that 15 years, 600, I'm serious, 620,000 miles. Except for two occasions, I never gave the spare tire a thought. Not sure I've got one now. What I'm thinking is, if she had not had a desperate need, desperate need, she'd never give the Lord a thought. He deserves better treatment than that, don't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve to be treated like that. Never, never give him a thought except when we have a desperate need. He deserves better treatment than that. Oh, and then another thought is this. Why does bad things happen to good people? We take this good soldier boy here. Good brother. Good brother. Love the Lord. He's crippled, wounded. Why'd that happen? We think of some others. We think of Job. And we think of different ones. Good people. Good people. People that love God. People that walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Why does bad things happen to them? Well, I believe number one, that in the mind of God, if we could kindly look into the mind of God, and I believe we could, according to the Scripture, He did say, let. That tells us it's available.
Yeah.
He said, you can think like I think.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, I believe what he's saying is you can kind of read my mind.
Amen.
When I read people's mind, I get all off track.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm trying to deal with the insurance people.
Yeah.
They really want to help you when you know what I mean, paying. But when they're paying, it's all different.
Yeah.
Hard to deal with insurance people. Hard to deal with. Amen. Hard to deal with. But anyway, beloved, I believe that God in heaven sometimes allows bad thing, undesirable thing to happen to good people. To see how far we'll go with Him. Do you not think that a lot of us have our line drawn somewhere? They say, I'll go so far, but don't ask me to go no farther. I was thinking that some of the very best. Don't ask me to go no farther.
Yeah.
I mean, in your travels with the Lord, down my journey. Are you willing to go all the way? God appreciates total commitment.
Right.
If you've got a problem, if you'll totally commit yourself to God, that's it. If you'll say from your heart, He's the potter, I'm the clay. Take care.
Right, brother. Amen.
There'll be no turning back.
Right, brother.
Amen.
Right.
How far down the road with the Lord can you go without thinking about quitting? I told the Lord one time, I said, Lord, it's just too hard, too rough. I'm quitting. He said, well, Lord, Earl, that'll be all right, but get started first. It won't grieve me for you to quit if you're doing anything. How are you going to turn the light out to another morning? How can you stop a wheel that's not rolling? How can you put a brush pile out that's not burning? Please, please, please do something first. Get started. And there'll be plenty of time to think about quitting after you get started.
Amen.
Now, please do that. I believe God in heaven allows bad things to happen to good people. See how far we'll go with it. And then that it might create a hunger and a thirst in our hearts for His presence.
That's right. Amen.
If you never have a hunger and a thirst for the Lord, minor, shallow, maybe you experience.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. Create a hunger and a thirst for the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. How far are we willing to go with the Lord? And then, thirdly, that you might better appreciate the good grace of God. Now look at Paul for a moment here. He said, I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body out, I don't know. Such a one called up in the third heaven, saw things unlawful for him to speak. He couldn't find the words. It wasn't in his vocabulary to explain what he saw. What an experience. That'd be a tremendous experience, wouldn't it? I say, listen, dear beloved, with all sincerity, if all the sailing was smooth, a little Indian last night, didn't it do good? Up and down. Up in there.
Yeah.
Up in there. And
yeah.
Smooth. Yeah. If all your journey is smooth sailing.
Right.
You won't think very much of the good grace of God.
Amen.
You won't experience very much of it.
Yeah.
It's when you really need it.
Right.
It's when you appreciate it.
Right. Yeah.
When you know beyond any shadow of a doubt, He's the only hope you got. That's when you really appreciate the good grace of God. Long as it's smooth, you'll get self-confident. I can do it myself. And you've fallen from grace. I mean, if you get your contentment from your self-security, that's the only thing you'll do is get offended. Let me tell you one more time. Well, we can get to this later, but I'll drop it in right here. And then we'll cover it. Oh, down the road. You know when I get offended? Let me tell you.
Yeah.
When I get offended? When I got a high esteem of myself.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's come to that. Some bumps in the road, hardships in the road.
Yeah,
low, low finances. They're happy. I mean, I was happy.
Yeah.
How long has it been since your offering was low enough you could count it?
Yeah.
They're happy.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I mean, it'll help you to be in a low, low financial position. You'll really appreciate it when you get it.
Right.
You sure will. Right. You sure. I mean, when it looks like, oh, hopes are gone. You done filled it to the pump and put the last in.
Yeah.
And then when the Lord moves, you'll really appreciate it.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
If you're operating out of the top of the barrel, you don't appreciate it much.
Right.
Yeah.
When all hopes are gone. And
right.
You appreciate the good grace of God.
Amen.
Now, Paul, he had a tremendous experience going up. But he was edified a whole lot more coming down.
Right. Amen, brother.
Yeah.
When he's going up, he's enjoying the trip. Enjoying the trip. Looking around. Yeah. He said, how in the world am I going to explain this to him?
Yeah.
But when he comes down, I believe he can understand this language.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, brother.
I believe he can understand what I'm saying here. I'm going down.
Yeah.
Now look at that thing defeated the Apostle Paul. You say, how do you know it defeated? Well, he said, lest I be exalted above measure of you, the revelation of that was given unto me, a thorn in the flesh. The message of Satan to batten me, lest I be exalted above measure. For this thing, I besought the Lord twice, three times, take it away. If he wasn't defeated, he wouldn't be pleading for to be gone.
Right. Yeah. Right, brother. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I say that thorn will dig so deep and he'll pull you under. And as you're going under, you'll say, Lord, please help me.
Right.
He's not shouting. He's not rejoicing. At that particular time, he's not saying I glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation work of patience, patience experience hope, and hope make God ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. No, he's not praying like that.
Right.
No! No!
Yeah.
He said, God, you're the only hope I've got. If you don't get me, I'm gone.
Yeah.
That's where he's at. Going down in the sea.
Right.
That helped him more than that did.
Right.
He appreciated the grace of God more.
Amen.
But Joe, did you get the message? You appreciate it more after you had the hardship.
That's right.
Oh, he said last night, he said, Earl, I've got to stay up all night. He had a stack of outlines that deep.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm searching through every one of them. But he said, it's like hanging wallpaper. Got no glue. You get the wallpaper to hang, that's a glue.
Yeah.
Get another glue. I say, well, I got up at 4 o'clock this morning. I drove 225 miles. And I believe while you're cycling this out, I'll just get me a little sleep. A little help I can be to him.
Yeah.
What can I do for a man like that?
Yeah.
I said, Joe, I'd just be in your way. I'd just be in your way. But he got lost after that. But now listen, after all night digging deep, I've been letting the bucket down to the very bottom, coming up empty.
Ooh.
5 o'clock this morning, still coming up empty. But when the bucket did get full, buddy, he really appreciated it.
Amen,
amen, amen. He said, oh, you'll have to wake me up in the morning about 8 o'clock. You'll have to wake me up.
Yeah.
Man, he was up at 7. What happened? What happened? After all that struggle, he appreciated the grace of God more.
Yeah.
Isn't that right,
John?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, now listen, beloved, we find another thing about this precious little woman is not only do we see that there's a possibility she'd be using the Lord as a spirit to her, And then not only, beloved, the sheep need to understand him, why the Lord allowed bad things to happen to good people.
Right.
But then now, the next thing is, if you would, please, look at her opposition. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't stand on the balance of the scales with her opposition.
Right.
She's far ahead of me.
Right.
Amen. I'd done turn back a long time ago. She's still going.
Yeah.
Her opposition. It wasn't smooth sailing for her.
Right, yeah.
No! No! Smooth sailing for her. You know, really, be honest with you, I think that sometimes we expect the Christian life to be too easy.
Yeah. Right.
Don't the Bible say something like this? Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the fire of this life, that he may be able to please him.
Right.
I've chosen you to be a soldier.
Yeah.
If we pull back from these hard things that's in the Lord, we don't please him.
Right.
Paul the Apostle, I thought about this. Charlie, let me ask you a question right here. Would you shout to the cry if the Apostle Paul would say, Charlie, I stand in doubt of you?
Wow.
That's what I said. It's not easy to shout with experiences like that.
Amen.
I stand in doubt of you. I travailed in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That makes you feel pretty low.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul said, I stand in doubt of you. Yeah. Brother Tab, that wouldn't even be present for you. You're one of the greatest preachers I know. My ways are very limited, but you're the greatest.
Right.
But that wouldn't even make Brother Tab shout. Yeah. For the Apostle Paul said, Dr. Tab, I stand in doubt of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I say, she had opposition.
Yeah.
First thing I want to call your attention to, that speaks of opposition, she goes all by herself.
Yeah.
Now, to ask you a question, good pastor, good evangelist, good missionary, if nobody shows up, are you going to shut the victory? She's by herself.
Yeah.
I don't know where her husband's at, but he's not with her. I don't know where her friends are at, but they're not with her.
Right.
She's all alone. Paul said, at my first answer, no man stood with me.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Charlie, he was the pastor. He had pastoral authority. He was the only one that was a member. When he preached, he got his own message. He couldn't steal, didn't have nobody to steal a message from. Had drawn out his own will. Preacher, have you been that far? All by himself. The singing, he had to lead the singing. If there's any music, he had to play the piano. Taking up the offering, if there's anything to give, he had to give. Well, at least he could say what was going to be used for. I'm saying that even the Apostle Paul said at my first answer, no man stood with me. No man. Now, the question would be, how long would you pastor that church?
Come on. Yeah.
How long would you endure them deacons?
Yeah.
You're the deacon. You're the pastor.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the one that makes the decisions.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? She by herself. All alone. And then, I want you to notice another thing, no doubt in my heart, soul, and mind, but what the devil got her in his sister before she got started.
Yeah.
Just a little grim share about the devil. Anybody know the devil? Anybody say, I know the devil? I know he's powerful.
Yeah.
I think sometimes he's crazy. But listen, we find the Lord said, Simon, Satan had desired to have you,
right.
But since you have swayed.
Right. Yeah.
I think that little girl is in that sifter before she ever gets to the Lord. He kind of knows what face. She got mine. He gets. Someone say, well, preacher, I never have been in that sister. I wouldn't brag about it. I'd keep it under my hat. I'd keep my hat on tight. After all, why does the devil desire to have anybody in that sister? He desires to have people in that sister that's doing something.
Right.
If I'm not doing nothing, he has no desire to have me in that sister.
Amen.
It can be a compliment if the devil desires to have you.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
He wants to sift out the good things out of your life.
Right. Amen. Right.
Oh, and then we find she approaches the Lord in tears. Said, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me, my daughter, grievously, grievously vexed with the devil. He answered not a word, walked on as though she wasn't there. My, my. If the Lord were to treat us like that, I wonder how many of us would be here this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, Brother Wilson, bless you. Any good? Any preach good last night?
Yeah, amen.
But you reckon if the Lord had treated him like that, he'd have made it here? Reckon you'd be here? Reckon I'd be here? If the Lord had answered us not a word, walked on as though we wouldn't hear? That's what happened to her. Opposition. And then the disciples, they came and you would expect them to intercede for her. Expect them to plead for her. But they said, Lord, get rid of her. Send her away! We don't want her around! Ooh, Lord. Have mercy. They wasn't greeting her. They wasn't pleading for her. They said, get rid of her. Get rid of her. Get rid of her. She smells bad. Get rid of her. Get rid of her. She got the itch. I don't want to get close to her. She ain't got no money. Get rid of her. Get rid of her.
Yeah.
She might criticize me. Get rid of her. Get rid of her. Get rid of her. Get rid of her.
Oh,
we need a seat. We need a seat. That's the reason I didn't call Charlie. I was due to be here on Monday night. I mean, I purposed to get here, but I lost my purpose. And I thought I'd call him, and I said, oh, Brother Nunn, he may need my seat. He might not even have a cup of talk.
Yeah.
Get rid of her! And then, when he did speak, when the Lord did speak, he said, and look right direct at her. She knew that he was talking to her. He wasn't talking to somebody in the next pew. He was talking to her. Now, the message that you think is for the other person might be for you.
Right, amen.
Amen. Might be for you.
Amen.
He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're not a Jew, forget it.
Right.
Since you're not a Jew, the mailman don't run that way no more. You might as well take your mailbox down.
Wow.
Not nothing for you. Did he ever talk to you like that? If he had, you might not be here this morning. Now, consider this for a moment. Abraham was a man of tremendous faith who, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, consider not his own body, now dead, being 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, staggering not at the promises of God through unbelief, was strong in faith, giving glory unto God. How could he do that? He had a crutch to lean on. The promise of God was a crutch. She didn't have no crutch. She didn't have no promise. You might as well go home and forget it. You're not a Jew. Opposition. 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 Then we find, and the Lord said unto her, after this statement, nothing for you, forget about it. She fell down and worshiped him. Brother, that's real worship. He didn't have to bribe her. She fell down. No, he said, got nothing for you. Fell down, worship him. What's your purpose in worshiping the Lord? Worship him just because he's worthy.
Amen.
To the glory of God. You never go wrong. If it's a selfish attitude, you may be off course.
Amen.
And while she's worshiping him, the Lord looks down at her and said, these things, not right, not right. Take the children's bread, cast it to dogs.
Right.
Yeah. That's not a groom poodle. That's a junkyard dog.
Yeah.
Bless her little heart. She didn't get offended. She didn't.
Right.
You can't offend her. Shall be offended. Regardless, she's going to stay with you.
Yeah.
Amen. She's going to stay with you. Now, the next thought would be is this. Under such opposition, how can she be so steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? How could she be so steadfast, abounding, working, in the work of the Lord? Be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord?
Yeah.
That's what she said. All this opposition. But she's not disturbed. She's not fretful. She's calm. She's just waiting. She said, I come here to stay. I was pastoring a little church one time, and this good brother, 3 minutes after 12, I called on him to dismiss. He had already dismissed. He was already gone. But she was saying, make the message a little longer.
Yeah.
She was saying, make the message a little harder.
Yeah.
Pour it on. Pour it on. I need it. I need it. Pour it on. I need it. Can't you make it a little harder? That was good, but make it a little harder. I need it. I need it. I need it. Amen. She's not leaving. She's not leaving. Now the question would be, how can she be so steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? Well, give you about three things. Number one, the love, the compassion she had for her daughter. Don't you think if we had more love, more compassion for the lost, we'd have better harvest?
Amen.
After all, the Bible did say, he that go forth and weep and bear his precious seed shall doubtless come again with the joy of bring the sheep with
him. Amen.
Amen. I mean, she loved her daughter. She was out in behalf of her daughter. She knows the Lord is her only hope. And she knows it. She goes away. Let me ask you a question here. Do you think if she'd have turned back, her daughter would have ever been healed? I don't believe she'd have been here, and I don't believe she herself would have had 1 ounce of victory.
Right.
I believe she lived in that condition and died in defeat.
Right.
That's sad, isn't it? See people die in defeat.
Yeah.
Right. My. Oh, listen. And then another thing, beloved, that helped her be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, not only the love she has for her daughter, but she lets her anchor down. That's a good place to let your anchor down.
Amen. Amen.
She's in the fire. But she lets her anchor down. Now keep this in mind. When they dock that ship, they lower the anchor. They don't just lower it underneath the surface of the water. If the storm comes, the anchor will float away with the ship. But they let it down all the way to the bottom.
Right. Yeah.
She let her anchor down all the way to the bottom. The chain's long enough, it'll reach the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
When the Lord answered her, not a word. She was at the anchor there.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
When the disciples had to get rid of her, she was at the anchor there.
Yes, sir. Amen.
When the Lord said, forget it. Mailman, don't run your way no more. You're a Jew. Forget it. She was at the anchor there.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Where's your anchor?
Yeah.
Let your anchor down. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen.
And the stronger the wind, the deeper the anchor.
Right.
Pressure. Pressure drives the anchor deeper.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can relax.
Yeah.
Take your little nap. It'll hold.
Yeah.
There is a bit.
Amen.
Oh, I wish some preachers would wake up. They're forever learning, never able to come to knowledge of truth. fuss at their members for sleeping while they preach. Nobody in here can give you that, but some do. Fuss at their congregation because they sleep. Have you shown that speaks of peace. That you're not given. Great peace, how they that love the law. Use it for a pillar. Your preacher's not giving that peace to Teddy. Got the anchor there. Pressure's on, but the anchor holds, and they're asleep. That's what I say. Anchor there. Do what, sir?
He's done messed my doctor.
Oh, yeah. Well, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Walk in his footsteps. If it's not in his mind, in his footsteps, you're in the wilderness. Amen. I'm just bragging on the pastor a little bit. Amen. And then, not only is the anchor down, but she got faith in what she's going to leave with. Faith in what she's going to leave with. Now keep in mind, she's in the fire. And she's not trying to jump out. She's not trying to jump out of the fire. She knows it's good for her. That fire won't hurt you. And she's not asking for the temperature to be lowered. Now keep this in mind. The hotter it is, the sooner it'll be over. The hotter it is, the sooner it'll be over. She's in the fire. She's not trying to jump out. She's not asking to say, Lord, please, please, Lord. Turn it up. No, she's not. She's enduring it. She said, pour it on. The hotter it gets, the sooner I'll be out of here.
Amen.
Why pray for something's going to hurt you? Oh Lord, I can't stand this. I got to get out of this. If you just totally commit, you'll say, Lord, not my will, your will be done. You're the potter, I'm the clay.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now look at this, beloved. And we find it. I'll close. You won't believe it, but give me about 2 minutes here in Peter's writing, you know, in the light of one day, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, one day. Give me 2 minutes of life. Close up! The Lord. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
Now, please, listen to me. She's passed the test. She has already passed the test.
Yeah.
She's passed it, Charlie.
Yeah.
I never have, but she has. I sure would like to get her to pray for me. I believe I'd rather have her to pray for me as Dr. Taps. I believe it. He can get through, but I'll tell you, I'll be able to choose her. She has passed the test. Now keep this in mind. I'll be honest with you, I'm on the call in about 2 minutes. They tell me that the goldsmith puts the gold and the raw ore in the furnace, turns the heat up. If he don't turn the heat up, what'll happen? How can it ever be used? How can I have that ring if the heat had never been turned up? I mean, that gold has got to be melted before it can be used. It's got to be melted before it can be used.
That's right.
Or we find the heat melts it. The dross comes to the top, throw it away. And here I'm wearing the ring.
Right.
They tell me it's a ring. They tell me it's gold. I don't know. We'll assume it is. We all have to assume some things again. This shouldn't be love. They tell me that then the goldsmith, when it's melting, dross comes to the top, throw it away, he looks in, he sees a reflection of himself. And the Lord knows it. She's in the fire. In the fire. And now listen, dear beloved. She hadn't tried to jump out. You're hurting yourself, you tried to jump out. She hadn't said, Lord, please turn it down. I can't stand it. She's enduring it. endure in hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man that war entangles himself with the fires of this life may please him who has chosen. If you hadn't passed the test unless he's pleased. Never pass the test unless he is pleased. He's got to be pleased. He's got to be pleased before you've passed the test. He's got to be pleased. Got to be accepted. You can offer it, but he's got to accept it before. And what I mean, you've passed the test. Oh, and so the Lord was saying, he said, I didn't even recognize her when she came in tears, but she's still here. Are you still here? The disciples said, get rid of her! We don't want her around! But she's still here. When they wouldn't let you sing in the choir, well, did you leave?
Come on.
When you got somebody else's seat, did you leave? Somebody else got your seat, did you leave? When they wouldn't give you recognition, did you leave? A lot of reasons to leave for. But if you want to be used, you stay.
Right. Amen.
Stay put.
Good, brother.
That's just good,
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
And he said, I told her I didn't have nothing for her. She's still here. She's still here. Still right here. In arm reach, she's right here. She got that faith what the outcome is going to be. Got that faith what the outcome is going to be. I am going to leave here. I'm going to leave here with a victory.
Amen.
Stay around.
Yeah.
Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning.
That's right.
Amen. And what the Lord did, he took a long step over that dispensation of the borderline. Don't tell on him.
Amen.
Don't tell the doctor Divinus, but he took a long step. After all, he's God. He can do whatever it takes. Don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you think he can?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good to have your permission, but you don't have to have it.
Right.
Amen! Hallelujah! He don't have to have your permission. He don't have to sign the documents. He's God!
Yeah.
Took a long step over that dispensation of Bola. Signed her a check. Signed her a check. On the unsearchable riches of Christ in glory.
Amen.
Hand it to her. She looked at it, kissed it, took a Holy Ghost leap over in Ephesians 3 unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all. You can ask your faith according to the riches of glory. Hallelujah. Sound like a bargain to me. I'm glad she stayed. She'd have left. She'd have missed something.
Amen.
She'll leave for any reason. You'll miss something. You'll miss something.
Amen.
So you will. Kiss that check, jumped over in the fidget. And now, here's what I want you to see. She's skipping down the road. Man, she's skipping down the road. 100% victory in her soul. No room for doubt. No room for fear. No room for discouragement. She's passed the test. She's alive. She's going on to perfection this life. She's doing everything in a perfect manner. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of God, let's go on unto perfection. That's in this life. You can do some things that's in a perfect order, and God said, that's perfect. She's marching down the road in perfection. Skipping down the road in perfection.
Amen.
Man, she got it made, hadn't she? I mean, she got it made. Paul wouldn't look at her and say, I stand in doubt of you. Not her.
Yeah.
He'd put his arms around and glad you passed the test. The question is, have you passed the test? Now, what I want you to see is this. She's skipping down the road, shouting the victory. She's going to see her daughter that's already been healed. And when the Lord looks at her skipping down the road, what does he see? He sees a reflection of himself.
Right.
That's a disheartened place to be in.
Amen.
The question will be, with all humility, are you there?